verifying it.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
That's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well.
So do you remember the old Batman cartoons? And it would say, boom,
oh, those,
pow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was the other one that was in it? Boom, pow. There was a
smash.
Smash.
That was, what's the guy's name? That wasn't a cartoon. That was live action.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. What was the guy's name? Anyway.
Was it what? I think there
Thud.
Was, yeah, Thud. Whack was in it.
I always liked when
Crash!
Batman was calling somebody and he'd call the commissioner and then he'd patch somebody through and he'd take the two phones and he'd like to put them together. He'd like put them upside down so they'd be able to talk. That was the first conference call.
I actually remember that.
Yeah.
Zap!
Whack!
Adam West.
Is that the first you remember watching?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Adam West and Batman?
I think so. That sounds about right.
The first exposure I had to Batman was the Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson. You didn't watch. You didn't watch the old school
Jack Nichol something. No, never
yeah,
saw.
You had it right. It was Jack Nicholas.
No, it's Nicholson.
No, it's Nicholas.
Nicholson is the golfer.
Whichever one's not the golfer, it's that one. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Can't complain. Hey, we've had some. I hope you two learned your lesson. I hope
well,
you guys
obviously we didn't.
Took a long,
no,
hard look
we did.
At yourself.
We did. We learned a lesson.
Because we've done some things that have received the ire of fan bases. We've been on the business end of the Twitter mob every now and then.
Yeah.
But the two of you messing
don't
with...
Don't you say the two
with,
of us
no,
like you had nothing
had
to do.
Nothing to do with
yeah.
this. Nothing. But the two of you getting a little sideways on Wordle yesterday and dropping hints as to what the word was, we all caught some friendly fire on that one. And so I expect all of you to do better.
Are you being serious? You feel that way?
You don't feel like you got heat for that yesterday?
No, I felt like people were praising us for being strong and bold enough to give answers to things to questions that were out there.
And most of them had no ideas. I mean, come on, Buster Baking Soda Douglas. It could have been that one.
That was mine.
It could have been Lennox the Egg Lewis.
No, you guys got to stop with this. Okay. This is not okay.
Hey, I'm not taking any part in this. I don't even want anything to do with Wordle.
Okay, well then let's be done with it.
All right.
That game is seriously just whack.
It makes
it is. Why I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it.
Okay, well then you can just keep your damn mouth shut is what
see,
you can do.
That doesn't matter because that's just four letters.
Yeah. Yeah. You realize we are gonna lose listeners over this.
Are you being serious?
Oh, I guarantee we are. Like, I guarantee we're going to get people really upset with us over this.
Okay, well, then let's not mess with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. Yeah. My homeboy over there.
Don't you
that's
don't
two
point
days,
at me.
That's two
don't
days
you
in a
point
row
at me.
You've done
don't,
this. That's two
oh,
days
suddenly,
in a row.
Suddenly it was me.
Yes.
Not the Batman stuff. No, it was me.
It is you. You're the one that gave way.
Okay, you know what? I'm done with you guys. I'm done. Okay? Done.
I'm sorry. No, you guys are right. But I think people really do like find some type of entertainment in this thing. So let's not screw it up for people. I promise from this day moving forward.
This is way worse than yesterday.
Because Lloyd really got involved
yes.
on this one.
Here, let me replay how you opened up the show. Let's replay that.
No. Hey, how many guesses did it take you this time, Scotty?
Maybe four.
That's good, right?
No, that's
you have
bad.
Six?
You have six, but you want to – three needs to be where it's at.
Well, I could promise you I wouldn't have never gotten that.
By the way, and I'm telling you, I'm seeing people like that put their thing out, and there's like, and they're missing, and all of a sudden, bam, oh, I got it. That's like, they're cheating.
They're not
cheating.
There's
some people that are cheating.
No. Well, I'm sure there's some people cheating, but
okay,
if you're cheating at this, shame on you.
Exactly. Shame on you.
Go. Shame on you.
I do want to mention, I saw one guy who works in the media here, and his first guess had the two yellow boxes that indicated that he had the right letter, but in the wrong space. And then his second guess didn't have any right letters. So my thought was, boy, that was dumb.
Yeah.
You didn't even take the letters you had right in the first.
I'm taking it he did not understand the game, what the orange
well,
meant.
I do also think that sometimes you throw, like, you want to just see what letters are out there. So you, like, just sacrifice a turn just to try to see if you can pick up some letters.
So you use five different letters?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it has to be a word, though. Like, if you put in, if you just go, like, you know, your comp, like, A-E-I-O-U, and you, that's a word, they're going to be like, no, that's, like, they kick that back. They're like, that's
okay,
not going to count as a turn.
So your second guess, strategically with your second guess, you don't want to use the letters that you found to be correct but in the wrong spots.
But you can. I'm just saying, you know, if you're in a jam, like last night, I was in a jam and I just needed some help, and finally I got a little lucky. But
so you did yours at midnight?
It was about 12:30, 12:40 right there. I'd forgotten
about
it.
Couldn't even wait till the morning?
No, I was doing some work, and I and Jenny came. I was on my laptop and I was getting some work done. Jenny's like, "Hey, you ready to go to bed?" I'm like, "Yeah." Hold on, I'm just finishing up some things. And then she tweeted out, she did it, and I'm like, "Oh crap! Well, now I got to do it now."
Hey, you got a game tonight, huh?
I do. Utah State and San Diego State.
How's that game looking?
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Utah State: they're in every game they play. Like, every game goes right down to the wire. They're right there. So I would suggest that I would anticipate tonight will be one of those games where they'll just – it'll go right down the wire. No Ryland Jones. Suffered a concussion. And out this game and maybe out this weekend, too. It was a nasty one.
How's he been for you, the Utah transfer?
Good. Really good. Just a heady distributor. Just makes all the right
shooter
plays out there. Can be. Not shooting the ball well as of late. He's in a bit of a slump, but he's been a little streaky as a shooter. But I think that'll come along.
Let's consider nobody wins their conference tournament here in the state. Do we only have one bid out of the state?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Yep.
That's too bad.
That's all right, though.
They're in action tomorrow, by the way.
But here's the thing. BYU. I think BYU will continue to be really good. I don't foresee them dropping off anytime soon. And I think Craig's going to get things turned around at Utah. And I think Utah State, I think they'll get things turned around. So it's going to go up and down a little bit from time to time. And I think this has an opportunity to hit the right direction coming up here pretty soon.
All right,
let's get to it. Starting lineup, Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Mine wasn't obvious. I was trying to be a little more undercover. Scotty, for our starter today, best venue. Sorry, read the.
What are you doing?
Read the advertisement, and we'll rock and roll.
Wait, man, we're off to it today, man.
What are you doing?
Starting lineup brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
All right, so, Scotty, I was working on Jazz starters, their numbers, games missed, and those types of things, okay? And as I was working on these things, first and foremost, I've got to mention this because I was just really disgusted by it. So, typically in the NFL, depending on what your contract is, if you get injured, you go on IR. IR gives you a certain percentage of your contract, but you're not paid in full. And there's different ways to work what they're paying you against the cap and different structures for injury. I asked two people that I trust very much in the world of the NBA, is it similar with the NBA? No.
No.
If you're out, you're full pay. If you're out with injury, you're full pay. At least that was the return I got. Do you know anything differently?
No, that's the same.
So think about this. Because I was going through teams in the West and minutes missed by starters. Games missed by starters. And I came across Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So Paul George tore a ligament in his elbow in the beginning parts of the season. And he's been out for an extended period of time. Kawhi Leonard has been out with that repaired ACL. Remember, had surgery July 13th. And by the way, for anybody that's interested out there with the Clippers, I was reading a piece that was written up by a Clippers insider out in L.A. And it talked about the probability of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard returning this season. It's very high. So now the Clippers, they have to take care of business to keep themselves in postseason play. Right now, I think they'd be in the play-in. I think they were 7th or 8th last time I looked. They'd be in that play-in tournament. But if they can keep themselves within striking distance and they get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard back, that would be really interesting if those guys can get up to speed quick enough. But both of those guys are making $39,344,900. Both of them are at $39,344,900. And they've played a combined of like 15 games this season. It's just crazy to me, man, that these guys just keep getting these checks. Knees jacked, elbows jacked. I get it. It's beyond. But you would think there would be something for these owners. Could you imagine if you're an NBA owner and you're cutting a check of $80 million to a couple of guys?
Yeah, no.
That aren't playing?
No.
That aren't doing their work? Oh, they're rehabbing. I guess you could call that their work. But they're not out there winning games for you. I know, probably kind of a pathetic argument, but
no, I don't think so.
The Clippers are currently really hamstrung with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard in their situation, but I do expect them to come back. And that means I'm keeping the Clippers in my periphery. If those guys come back and they stay strong and they've gotten great reps for the five that had to start in place and they got depth, they could be interesting. I thought Denver was interesting. No Jamal Murray, no Michael Porter Jr., and Denver's still doing their thing, but Jokic has been out 5 games, Will Barton 6 games, Jeff Green 4, Aaron Gordon 3, Monty Morris 3. So the guys that they've got starting in place of Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are still missing. They're still getting some rest. They're still missing some games. Do you know Chris Paul has not missed a game yet this year?
I love it.
Chris Paul has missed 0 games.
0 games.
Bridges has missed 0 games for the Suns. Devin Booker's missed 7. Jay Crowder 7. DeAndre Ayton is at 18 right now. I bring this up because we kind of get caught up in what's happening with the Jazz and these players missing games. And they're not off pace. It's not the Jazz, and I know that it's a more recent stretch, but a lot of these teams have gone through it earlier in the season, and a lot of it is not COVID-related. Most of it, when you're looking at longevity, you're looking at 18 games, or you're looking at the games that Kawhi or Paul George are missing, or you're looking at the games that Jamal Murray and Michael Porter are missing. Those are injury-related. You know, and I'm looking at Donovan Mitchell has now missed 8 of 48 games. Mike Conley has missed 6 of 48 games. Rudy Gobert has missed 6 of 48. Royce O'Neal, 4 of 48, and Bojan Bogdanovic, 2 of 48. So, Scotty, to put that in perspective, last year, Bojan did not miss a game, which I was shocked because I thought he did with that wrist and hand injury. But Bojan did not miss a game, played all 72 last year. Rudy Gobert missed 1. Royce O'Neal missed 1. Joe Ingles has missed 6 so far through 48. Joe Ingles missed 5 all year last year. And then I'd forgot that Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley were injured before going into the postseason.
Yeah, the playoffs, they were out for a lengthy stretch going into the playoffs.
Right into the playoffs. Donovan Mitchell missed 19 games last year, and Mike Conley missed 21. So there was a pretty good understanding of what this team was like without Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley on the court. And I do remember getting them back for the postseason was a huge moment. But it made me think, so, you know, we're talking about management And I know that those guys were out trying to get better from injury, but those guys missed 19 to 21 games before the postseason. I don't know exactly how to make sense of kind of my thought process on games missed, but they were out 19 and 21 games before the postseason, and they were still a second-round exit. I guess I'm just trying to figure out how much time and game management really matters when you're Donovan Mitchell and you're young, or you're Rudy Gobert and you're pretty young.
It's a great question.
I know that you've got an old roster, though. When you remember before the season got started, I can't remember how many guys. I think it was six guys at 30 plus roster.
Yeah, you throw Ingles and you throw Conley and Rudy Gay on a roster, it's going to skew you old pretty quick. So I think that there's an element of this goes on everywhere in the NBA. So this is not unique to the Jazz. It's not unique to anywhere else around the league. Players are going to take their time coming back from injuries. That's fine. That's well within their right. I do think there's an element across the league of, and this is why I really admire what Chris Paul's doing, because I do think that, well, I mean, there was a time where at a different time in my career that I made a joke about a certain, about some hosts that we had that would have, we call them revenge vacations. And one would go on vacation, and the other one would have to hold down the fort for the week or whatever, and you could tell that they were grumpy about it. And so when that person came back, they'd immediately take a vacation, and they'd come to me and say, hey, look, you know what? Something popped up. I got to be out Wednesday through Friday. And I'm like, really? Or are you just ticked off that you had to hold down a week, and so you're getting your just revenge? I mean, this was a long, long time ago. But I do wonder, across the NBA, if there's an element of a player that looks around and sees two or three guys out and says, sheesh, I'm going to be the only guy out here. Well, my ankle's been kind of bugging me lately, or this wrist has been kind of bugging me lately, or whatever the case is. And I don't know if I want to be the only guy out here right now. And I be part of a probable loss. And again, I'm not saying it with the Jazz. I'm just saying human nature. Like, you know, I'm sure, you know, when you look across the defensive line and two of your guys are out and you're like, well, geez, I got to hold down this fort by myself. This isn't a lot of fun. And I do think to a certain extent that goes on around the NBA a bit.
Well, I think that that's actually kind of interesting you bring that up, Scotty. When you go through, you know, this stretch is pretty brutal. They are 2-8 through this 10-game stretch. And there was a moment there. And I'm just hypothetically, and I don't know, you know, we could be way off, but because you brought that up, just out of curiosity, you know, when Rudy Gobert wasn't on the court with the Pacers and wasn't on the court with the Pistons and wasn't on the court with the Cavs, and maybe you had a couple of the starters that were on the court, you know, in those games, and you had losses. And remember, one of our biggest conversations, one of everybody's biggest conversation was, boy, no Gobert. There's some bad losses. Gobert's not on the court, and you lose to the Cavs, the Pistons, and the Pacers. Holy cow, can they even do it without Gobert? Well, if I'm one of the guys that was on the court, let's just say for the sake of conversation, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wait a second. Hey, we can still win when he's not on the court. Whether you feel it or not, in your mind, you're like, I'm still putting my time in. I'm still doing my work. What are you talking about? Well, you know, all of a sudden you go to play Houston and Rudy Gobert is on the court and Donovan Mitchell is not on the court. And it's a loss. And so I do wonder a little bit, and I don't know, like this could just be complete coincidence, but you know, when you're seeing guys rotate on and off the court, and you had the laundry list of injuries you had the other night, it does make you wonder, why are they not on the court tonight? Why is tonight the game? You know, against Phoenix, you had that crew off the court. You had everybody off the court. Why was it against Phoenix in Phoenix? Were they really injured? I mean, it seemed they had an injury for every guy. Maybe they were, but could they have played? If it was a Suns, the start of a series, would they have played? Sure seems like it. It's just weird to see the rotation of guys in and out.
And then the other question is, even if they could have played, should they play? Like we mentioned, the Jazz were outside of that Conley and Mitchell injuries at the end of last season. Jazz are really durable last season.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gobert only missed one game. Bogey didn't miss any games.
O'Neal only one.
Ingles, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really remarkable stretch. And then
that was for the full 72.
And that's for the full 72-game season. Yeah.
We're through 48 right now.
And then, anyway, the Jazz got booted in the second round of the playoffs. I mean, they're like, hey, look, let's take another alternate. And you could tell last year the number one seed was a priority for this team. Now, all right, well, we've done that. Been there, done that. Number one seed may not be a priority anymore. Let's make sure our guys take their time back and don't rush back from injuries. Hey, you know, Donovan, Donovan's like, man, I'm still got headaches. I don't feel right after that concussion. All right, well, then let's take another game off. Because let's make sure that we're playing our best basketball March, April, and going into the playoffs. And so I understand if that's a philosophy. I totally understand it, respect it, because a lot of teams have done it, and a lot of teams have won championships doing that. But, you know, I think it's a good way to break down the landscape of what the current NBA is like now. And I know people like to go back to the solid days of John and Carl playing 82 every game of every season, but those days are behind us.
So I was looking at the finish last year, and to finish the season, they went 7-2 in the last 9 games to hold on to that one seed. 7-2 in the last 9 games. And remember, that was without
Conley and Mitchell.
Both Conley and Mitchell were both out. So here was your starting five: Joe Ingles, George Niang, Rudy Gobert, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Royce O'Neal. So George Niang filled in and started to try to take over on certain minutes and certain nights. Remember, they always worked on matchups. Depending on what the matchup was is who they'd put out on the court. But they still finished strong with those bench guys. Mike Conley came back right at the very back end of the season, and they had minute restrictions for him. He had 15 minutes against Oklahoma City 2 games before the season was over. Remember, they were trying to ramp him up.
Yeah.
But they continued to win without Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley on the court, which is interesting to me because they're not winning with Donovan Mitchell off the court or Rudy Gobert off the court. It's becoming pretty obvious that you've got to have them both on the court. It kind of feels like you have to have a full complement on the court at this point. Does this stretch give you any indication of the depth of this team and cause you concern?
It causes me concern just based on the entire roster gives me cause for concern in terms of have they really improved themselves better defensively from a perimeter standpoint. I don't know if they have or not. Like, I still think they are who they are. They are a team that will funnel players down into Rudy. And then Rudy's going to have to clean up a lot of the mess, and it puts him in a bad situation. And I think that when you get into the playoffs, they'll have teams that are smart and well-coached and that will pull Rudy out of the paint, and teams will continue to drive on the Jazz. And I don't know if the Jazz can handle that right now. I think that is a fundamental flaw that this team has that I don't know if they can address it.
Just a way to manage Gobert.
As currently constituted. That's why I do think, and again, I got no inside info. It's just me spitballing here. That's why I think the Jazz do something at the trade deadline. I don't know how extreme, but I do think the Jazz in some way, shape, or form try to address that.
Hmm. Probably need to at this point.
I would think so.
I know I've talked about it. Don't panic. I've talked a lot about it. Don't panic. I'm not panicking. I'm not losing complete faith in this Jazz team. I'm also not taking tonight's Suns game and putting a lot of weight against it or any other game in the next month or so. But as these losses mount and as some of these losses mount against mediocre teams, it does create a little bit of worry, some concern. it's made everybody stop and think, well, how much of this has to do with new ownership? How much of it has to do with new management? How much of it has to do with injury and otherwise? And I think all of it plays a part. All of it plays a role. Until we see things calm down and we see a full complement and see the Jazz really test themselves, I'm still not going to panic. But it does create a lot of interesting storylines.
Yeah. 1224, Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Coming up a little bit later on, and Andy Bailey will join us at 105. We'll chat some NBA with him. Also, we'll chat some NFL coming up a little bit later on as we get ready for the conference championship games. You're listening to another edition of Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Dennis Dodd joining us, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com.
As I look at this new Big 12, when it comes time for Texas and Oklahoma to leave, I like the conference. And if you compare it to the Pac-12, I think it compares favorably. How do you see it?
You're going to need one team or two teams to be dominant, which the Pac-12 hasn't had. The advantage for the Big 12 going forward is because in an expanded playoff, if we ever get there, you're only going to have to be 11-2 to get in. The advantage for any of it is that you don't have to go 12-1 or undefeated. So if you've got the schedule, if you won the league, or even if you hadn't, in the case of the SEC, which is going to have a say in this, you're going to have a really good shot with two losses, depending on who you put.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Show brought to you by You First Credit Union. For over 65 years, they've been part of your community, and while their name is changing, their commitment is not. Find out more at youfirstcu.com. You ever do that? Oh, you've done that before, because then you brought him by when we were doing a remote one day. I got the call this morning from the old elementary school. I had to go pick up my dude. A little under the weather.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is he all right?
He's all right. He's all right.
Speaking of the situation I was dealing with, he's all right.
Is he?
Yeah. He's
okay.
All right.
Good.
Things are all right.
Good.
Any man out there that's got kids, you start to realize really quick that it's all about dealing with the health of your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just kids that are dealing with all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's physical health, mental health, you know, it's social problems.
Which are very real.
Classwork, teachers' relationships, coaches' relationships. Dads out there that are managing those things, we stand with you. We understand your plight. Moms too, but moms deal with a whole different set of issues that luckily dads don't have to deal with. My wife deals with so many different things.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And that's the thing. It's such a burden. Being a mom and dealing with all that nonsense.
It really is.
We can fly in and out and do whatever we want. And
they have to be there.
Yeah.
If they're a stay-at-home.
Like last night, my wife was out. She was doing some things. And I had my two boys were just barking at each other all night. I'm like, hey, why are we fighting over this? You go over there, you go over there.
Yeah.
And then they still find a way to get together and start barking at each other. It's like, hey, you morons, get away from each other. You each have your own rooms. Go in there and just stay there.
So my 14-year-old son, he absolutely loves his mom, but he loves to antagonize his mom. So my wife likes to do puzzles when she's, you know, watching a show or something late in the evening. She loves to do puzzles. So she's got this puzzle table that is set up kind of behind the couch, and she does puzzles while she's watching a show or something relaxing. My son's favorite thing to do, he's 14. Right when the puzzle is close to being finished, then he steps in and starts putting final pieces in, and it just is her pet peeve.
Like it's just, oh, I would be beyond upset.
It's her pet peeve. So she'll walk away, and he'll start putting in, you know, the last 15, 20 pieces.
That's like ruining Wordle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know. You have experience in that.
So, you know, I'm about 8:30, 9 o'clock trying to relax, and I just hear them just she's screaming at him. So I said, come in here. And he comes in. He's like, all I'm trying to do is help her with her puzzle. I don't understand what the problem is. So I'm like, honey, he's just trying to be helpful.
Oh, no, you can't take his side.
Well, she comes stomping in. She's like, helpful? Putting the final eight pieces in a 1,000-piece puzzle is helpful? And just, that's, so those are the kinds of things we get to deal with. It's funny, though, man. Everybody's dealing with those, right? Like, everybody has things that they deal with at home. We get you, parents.
And once the kids know that they can get you, that they got something on you that pushes your button, just going to continue to just stick that knife in.
Grind the gears. Hey, so we were talking about this stretch that the Jazz are on, and I know it's been tough losing 8 of the last 10, but if you go and study the schedule a little bit, there is a very favorable stretch for the Jazz post-All-Star break.
Correct.
If I were to lob a guess out there, I think they've got a 7-game win streak post-All-Star break. At least one 7-game win streak going from March 2nd until March 12th. I think it's a pretty good stretch. Now, it's a lot of it's on the road, but it's against teams you could absolutely beat. My full expectation is you've got a full roster post-All-Star. Should be. There's nobody that is permanently out. There doesn't seem to be anybody that's permanently out or has any type of permanent damage. So when you look at post-All-Star break Jazz schedule, I know there's some road games in there. I know there's some back-to-backs in there, like Oklahoma City and Dallas on a back-to-back on the road to finish the road trip. That might be a problem. But I think that the Jazz can absolutely the final four games of that 5-game road trip, I think they can win those. Then they get 2 days break and come back and take on Portland before they head to San Antonio, finishing with Sacramento. I see stretches in this Jazz schedule where they can make up ground that they're potentially losing right now in this streak. And things don't lighten up. They got Phoenix tonight. They're on the road against Memphis. Some think that they'll beat Memphis on the road. I don't. I'm hoping at that point Donovan Mitchell is back.
I would hope that you see that Memphis team on the schedule and say, it's a lot like, remember, what was it last year where the Clippers took a loss against the Jazz, and then they realized, and they had some guys out, and then they're like, okay, boys are getting a little big for their britches.
A night later.
Let's stamp this down a little bit.
Yeah,
and they did it.
Everybody came back.
I want to see the Jazz look at Memphis and be like, okay, you know what? It's been cute what you guys are doing, and I know everybody thinks you're the fun news story of the league. We're the reigning one seed, and we're going to – and we beat you in the playoffs last year.
I would love to see it.
So know your role.
I'd love to see them take a little pride in that game.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely.
Because I know the guys – and we talked about Trent Forrester. We've talked about some of the guys that have had to fill in. They're taking pride. Don't get me wrong. Those guys, they feel like their NBA livelihood depends on it. They're playing like their livelihood depends on it. They just don't have enough gas in the tank to get it done against Phoenix. But I would love to see the Jazz – I would have loved to see them come back tonight against Phoenix on a back-to-back game against Phoenix. Not back-to-back nights, but back-to-back games – with a night's rest, and I'd love to see the Jazz come back fully loaded here in Vivint Arena with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and say, all right.
Now it's go time.
Hey, yeah. Get DeAndre Ayton dressed. Go ahead and get Jay Crowder dressed. Bring him into the arena and let's see how this thing goes down this time on our ground. I'd love to see that. You know it's not going to happen tonight because we've seen who's out tonight. I would absolutely love to see it against Memphis coming up Friday night.
Like, let's have ourselves a little playoff preview. What do you say? A little shindig.
Yeah. A little Donnybrook. Yeah, we'll come to your place. We'll bring our team. We'll come to your place. Just you guys get yourself ready. We'll get ourselves ready. But we're coming just to set the scene pre-All-Star break, how this season's going to play out. Because that Clippers situation, if I remember right, that was pre-All-Star.
It was. I believe so.
I think that was pre-All-Star. I think it was mid-January. Or no, sorry. Because the weird start of the season, I can't remember exactly when it was, but I think it was pre-All-Star break. And the Clippers are like, that was cute, but it's kind of a different story when we've got our stars available. So, which, by the way, ended up playing out interesting because you saw the Clippers in the second round of that year's playoffs, and they ended up beating you.
Yeah.
And they lost Kawhi Leonard game 4.
I want to say game four, game five. I know they
he didn't play game five or game six, I don't think.
Yeah, they closed out the Jazz without him on the roster or out on the court, that's for sure.
I think they closed out in the final two games without Kawhi Leonard.
I think you may be right. It was 2-2. Well, Jazz were up, 2-0 right out of the gate and then lost four in a row. I think it was game four or five when he went out with the injury.
So you've got a point, man. I would like to put an emphasis against Memphis because there's a good chance we'll see him. There's already more of than a good chance that they've been more impressive as of late. I would love to see Quinn Snyder and that entire crew take a little pride. Say, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to go to Memphis and lose this game. I guess I'm just hungry, and I'm not going to speak for all the Jazz Nation, and I won't speak for any of you guys. I'll speak for myself. I need glimpses again of what this team is.
Yes.
Just give me a taste.
And we've seen it a little bit. You know, those two road wins at Denver, I think, have been nice.
Yeah.
And show, okay. Because, you know, Denver, look, they still got the reigning MVP.
Yeah.
Still a good team. I know they're dealing with injuries, and they've been through some stuff. But to go there and get two road victories there, frankly, over the last stretch of these games that have not been good, those have been the two highlights, those two road games.
They have, because that Detroit game at home absolutely should have been a win. But outside of that, those two Denver wins are the other two wins they've got in the last 11 games.
Yeah.
That's it. And Donovan Mitchell's performance in the most recent one, his 34-point performance in the most recent one, and Rudy Gobert doing what he was doing off the boards, that was impressive. It was a good win. Now, obviously, Denver's got an excuse because they can say, well, we don't have Michael Porter, we don't have Jamal Murray. They've got an excuse. They've got a built-in excuse, which Jamal Murray, I'm still expecting back. Was it late March?
That sounds
about
right.
When we were doing the math?
Yeah.
Mid to late March.
When did it happen? About March? It's about a full year.
Yep. So we were just kind of working on the math. And
problem is, what's your expectations? I mean, being out a full year and being thrown right into a stretch run of an NBA season, you can't have really high expectations.
No, not really. But it is Jamal Murray. He's a special talent.
And he's important. So, yeah, you got to get him out there in some way, shape, or form.
But I do see the Jazz having a favorable stretch, a couple favorable stretches post All-Star break.
Problem is getting to that All-Star break.
Right.
I mean, you do have a stretch where you've got leading into the All-Star break, after you play Brooklyn on February 4th, you've got the Knicks, you've got Golden State, which is a problem, obviously, but then Orlando, Houston, and the Lakers.
That's the finish to the break.
To the break, yeah.
Those three teams. Orlando, Houston, and Lakers.
If you don't screw up against the Lakers, then you might be able to carry a little momentum into that All-Star break, which is going to be key for this team overall, just to get healthy. Because, you know, I don't know if this is publicly said in the locker room, but I do think that there's a vibe of, okay, you know what? Let's tread water here a little bit. Let's get everybody healthy. If you need an extra game or two, that's fine. But when February 25th rolls around and we're playing Dallas and you guys have all had that week off with the All-Star break to heal up and we've kind of taken our time, now it's time to get down and get ready to go, because the Jazz will not have, starting on February 25th, they will not have two consecutive days off until early April. Actually, I take that back. They'll have the February 28th and March 1st off. But after that, then they won't have consecutive days off until early April.
Which is closing out
the
regular season. Well, I think there are a couple of games I've circled. I would love to see them take some pride in that Memphis game and just give us another taste of what this team is. I feel like I can't think of a comparison right now, but it's like every once in a while somebody will show up just to remind everybody what they're all about, what the team's all about. Remind fans everything's okay. We're still doing all right. The roster's great. Don't get overly concerned. The Jazz need to do that at some point pretty quickly. And Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert need to get back on the court together and put on their good face and show everybody, hey, we're all right. It is salvageable. We're all right.
Nice use of word there.
Yeah. And to see this team fully loaded as it was as constructed, a new construction with Whiteside and Rudy Gay, and just remember, okay, this is a better team than it was last year, because that was the conversation coming into the season. This is a better roster than the roster they had last year.
And I still think
Rudy Gay is a better player than George Niang.
Yeah, and I still think that's the case. I do think they're a better roster than they were last year. I just think that there's some inefficiencies of this roster that still maintain. They might have improved somewhat, and I think there's still room for growth too.
Do you feel like there's any turmoil with this team?
It's tough to do. That's a really good question.
But it's tough to feel it. It's tough to know it.
Well, and when you start to project, that doesn't seem to be fair. Because I got to imagine, Hans, as an athlete,
yeah.
If you were driving around and you heard two dudes on the radio talking about whether or not there might be issues in the locker room, and you're like, that's our area. You're not invited into that area. We're dealing with that. Even if it's true, you're like, you know what? That's not for you to...
Yeah. And, you know, I went to the Detroit game the other night, the last home game that they played and the last win that they had. And I told you, I went there with the intention to watch the bench and watch interactions between guys that were in street clothes on the bench and just kind of see if I could get a feel. And sometimes you can see cold shoulders. Guys don't stand up when big shots are hit, or guys don't come out to the court to high five when everybody else comes out, or, and there's just none of that. There was none of that for me to read into.
Yeah.
None of it. There's no evidence for me to say to our listeners, there's a problem. And this is why. I just don't have any evidence in it. And you're right. If there was a problem, it's always muddy waters to try to wade into that a little bit and try to make sense of it, because you'll never nail it.
Yeah.
You never truly know how deep or how shallow the wounds go between a couple of teammates. It's really hard to fully understand the damage. And if it's irreparable on the court. If you can't repair that on the court, because some guys can hate each other, they can hate their guts, but they step on a football field together, and they've got this incredible chemistry. Or they step on a basketball court together, you don't have to like each other.
Well,
so sometimes it doesn't even matter what the chemistry is.
Exactly. I mean, I had a former boss that he and I, we'd get into a room and he'd tell me what he thought, and I'd tell him what. If somebody were to walk in and just hear it, they'd be like, wow, these two dudes really don't like each other. When in reality, we really liked each other, and we got along really well, and we did. But that's just how our relationship was. We felt comfortable enough to really tell each other what we thought, and we would stick up for what we thought. And at the end of the day, we'd get on the same page and go forward. But if somebody, in fact, somebody did, was sitting in and were like, wow, you guys got after him. I'm like, no, that's just what we do. That's just the relationship. And so for somebody who doesn't know the relationship, to see something or hear something and be like, wow, there's a lot of issues. I'm like, okay, but do you really know? These guys are around each other so much, and they can say and do things that, like, I mean, honestly, like the Donovan Mitchell approach when Rudy Gobert said what he said about defense and the whole Devin Booker thing. And it almost felt like Donovan, when he was asked about it, Donovan just kind of like, oh, it's Rudy, you know?
Yeah.
And I think they know, like, okay, Rudy every now and then is going to say something. And we just kind of look back and maybe 3 or 4 years ago we would have got upset, but we just know that's how he is and how he operates, and then we'll hash it out and everything's going
to
be fine.
We need him and he needs us.
Yeah,
and we need to win.
It's like what Kurt Heelan said, and I don't remember who he's quoting, but he said these guys are like, they're like a 3-game win streak away from good chemistry.
Yeah,
no, that's a really good point. It's a really good point by Kurt Heelan, and Kurt's been doing this NBA thing for a lot of years. But, you know, I'm just gonna use the three of us for an example. So, think about what each of the three of us have gone through personally in the last month. You know, I was out for a funeral. There've been COVID issues. There's been a few things where we've had to miss shows and we haven't been around each other, and somebody could say, oh, well, they've got problems. The problem is nobody can nobody can really describe what you're going through, Scotty, or you're going through, Lloyd, or what I'm going through. They listen to us, but they can't explain what we're going through. Yet, you know, we come together to try to do good radio, and when we're here, we're back, and we're here. But we wouldn't want somebody saying, oh, well, I heard that Lloyd hates Hanson, and I heard he doesn't even want to show up and produce the show anymore. Well, you don't know. And maybe Lloyd is upset with me. He's been upset with me multiple times over the years, over the 12 years we've been doing radio together. But we managed to fix and repair and get back on and Aaron do what we need. That's the same in a locker room, but you're adding guys. You know, you're adding 15 guys. Or in an NFL locker room, you're adding another 55 or 70 guys when you're talking about a full roster. And so you've got personal issues, health reasons, coaching decisions. You got a million things that teams are working through that we, even if we jumped into that locker room, we still couldn't fully understand the depth of it.
Yeah.
And so it is always speculation when you're talking about relationships. I just don't buy it. I don't buy that there would ever be or will be a relationship issue that's going to keep this team from being able to compete together. Yeah.
What I do buy, and I know it's a little bit of a different team, but I do think a lot of the key pieces are there. What I will take to heart is how much of a fit that Ricky Rubio threw when he left the team and how upset he was. And essentially taking shots at the organization saying, these guys don't appreciate and know how rare it is to have good chemistry in a locker room. And I think they took that for granted, how special that was. Rubio's been on, 26 out of the 30 NBA available teams Ricky Rubio, I think, has played for. Slight exaggeration.
Is it only 26?
Yeah, maybe 27.
Mm-hmm.
This dude knows he's never talked about it leaving a team like that before. But when he left the Jazz, he talked about that a lot. Now, I know that that's been a couple of years ago, but Joe's still on this team. Rudy's still on the team. Donovan's still on the team. So I think the locker room... That's the one thing about this team that I'm not too overly concerned about. All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed coming up next right here on The Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
If you got to trade an offensive player, trade Boyan for Ben Simmons.
What are you going to get from Ben Simmons? 13.5 points.
We don't want whatever. You want defense.
Stop trying to convince me of something. One, won't happen, and two, I don't want to happen. Stop trying to convince me. I'm not going to do it.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone. And The Zone Sports Network.
I'm going to read your liner. Don't worry.
You mean like read it or eat the paper it's written on? Or you're saying read it and eat the bar?
Yeah, read it and eat one.
Oh.
That's not what you said.
But I said read it and eat it.
I thought you were talking about eat the paper.
Read it.
I'm happy to read it.
I'm happy to read it because I'm fired up about it. It's Built Bar. What you may have missed, brought to you by Built Bar. Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, cherry barcia, salted caramel. Enjoy Built Bar, 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% off your order when you use the promo code ZONE.
All right. Let's say the Denver Broncos acquire Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And win two Super Bowls over the next 5 years. But you end up, I don't know, which... I thought of something, but I'm going to have to change it. I was going to give you a would you rather kind of deal. What would you give up for that? How important or how big would that be for you? Where's your fandom at? Like, how exciting would that be?
That would be very exciting.
By the way, it'd be very Broncos-like to finagle a top quarterback for the last couple of years of his career and milk a Super Bowl out of
him. By the way, have you reached out to Jordan Schultz yet?
No, I'm going to. Yeah.
Get Jordan Schultz online. He had this bombshell he dropped yesterday where he thinks the Broncos are going to get not only Aaron Rodgers, but also Devontae Adams, too.
Did he respond to your tweet?
No, he didn't.
I was wondering.
He used to follow me. I looked at him like, dude doesn't follow me.
Is he not
anymore.
Following you anymore?
No.
I don't know.
Follows like 17,000 people.
He dumped me.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that might be a bit excessive.
His dad was Starbucks?
Yeah. Yeah.
His dad started Starbucks?
I believe so, yeah.
Gee, why is he even working?
I know, right?
Oh, I'd take daddy's money so fast.
In a second.
even if I had to take crap every day from people like, oh, you're just riding daddy's coattails. You got daddy's money. I'd be like, hey.
What kind of money do you have?
Yeah, shut your mouth while I get into my Bentley.
You wouldn't own a Bentley.
Is a Bentley still a nice car?
I'm sure it is, but I don't see you ever buying a Bentley.
If you could own any car, you're not really a car. I mean, you're more of a car guy than I am.
Do
you have a model that it's like, I would have that?
No.
Well, if he did get a Bentley, I mean, it's going to have a lot of miles on it. It's going to be used. Yeah. That's a fact.
Travis!
Doug!
I need a used Bentley.
Trucks and imports.
I'm going to need to get that for less than $300 a month, too.
Well, we got a 1984. I guess an 84 would be a classic now, wouldn't
it? There you go.
It'd be a classic, probably more expensive than when it was built.
More than a newer one.
No, I'm becoming very much less of a car guy as of late. These last few months have sworn me off vehicles.
Well, once you've driven something really nice, then it's boring.
I got some. We need to talk during the break.
But it's anyway. Boring now.
No, it's not boring. It's just fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Okay, so Scotty, listen to this.
Okay.
What year was 25 years ago?
25 years ago would be 1997.
So a car pre...
Right, we're 2022, right? Yeah, okay.
A car pre-97 is now considered a classic.
Are you serious? What?
Yeah.
Why do you want to depress me?
A classic car is an older car, typically 25 years or older. So you now have cars that were like early 90s. That would be considered a classic.
So my 83 Audi that I drove in 96.
Might be a classic.
It is a classic. It's got to be.
So my 77 Plymouth Horizon that I drove in 1995 would not be a classic in 95, but is a classic now.
It is a classic now. My 1977 Cadillac Eldorado soft top. Would absolutely be a classic.
I would do anything. Okay, not anything. Like I would love to find that old. I'm sure the same with you. Like find that old Plymouth Horizon that that I drove and give that to my kids and say, "This is your vehicle."
Yeah, you deal with what I dealt with.
You get what I get.
I did have a luxury vehicle. That 77 Cadillac Eldorado. It was a luxury vehicle, but. It swallowed so much gas. I can't even tell you how much gas that thing ate.
Remember when you used
my
to have
my kids are getting a stick shift, by the way.
Good luck finding one.
And it only had an AM dial. Only an AM and an 8-track.
Same with my I didn't have an 8-track. It was just an AM radio. That's where I got hooked on talk radio. Is because
you had an AM?
My Plymouth Horizon that I had only had AM radio.
A couple things of what you may miss. So Utah State, San Diego State tonight. Scotty on the call. You can hear that right here on the Zone Sports Network. Utah riding a 7-game losing streak, taking on Washington State. And Washington State's having their own issues. You know, they're kind of back and forth, win one, lose one type of thing. Does Utah get off of the fallout? And by the way, Washington State had 2 games postponed. I know Utah had one against, was it Arizona State? They had a game postponed.
Did they make that up?
I don't think they've made that up. Did they make that up? They might have. But Washington State's had a couple of games postponed. So they've been off for an extended period of time. I'm hoping that Utah can
I don't think, like Washington State, I mean, they're a 51 KenPom team. I don't know if it happens tonight. And remember, Utah did lose to Washington State already earlier this year by 16 at home. I do think, though, that this road trip might get a win because, remember, they've got Washington coming up. I do think that and they've got Oregon State back at home. I think that's where they're going to get off the they're going to get back on the winning track.
Shake the stink off of them?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how Craig Smith feels right now. The seven-game losing streak has to be so unacceptable to him. And I get it. It's tough. I mean, this conference, the Pac-12 is loaded with really good teams right now. The Pac-12 basketball is loaded with good teams.
It is. And I do think that they anticipated that to a certain extent. I do know that Craig's one of the most positive people I've ever met in my entire life. And they're going to need that positivity to regroup, end the season with some momentum, and carry it into next year.
You don't think they could get it done against Washington State tonight? I know
I
that
hope
they
so.
I know they had the loss earlier, but Washington State's been back and forth.
Let's see. Honestly, I would love to see it. Absolutely love to see it.
Oh, yeah. Look, yep, their last two games. Postponed against Oregon, postponed against Oregon State.
Yeah, they haven't played since the 15th.
But they get Utah at home. I hope Utah can shake it off and go get a win. I really like Craig Smith. I want to see him be successful at Utah. But, you know, I like Larry Kraskowiak. I wanted to see him be successful at Utah. And I think he was. I thought he had some successful years. Put three or four guys into the NBA, helped them make millions. I know people are like, well, he just didn't get the max out of the talent. How did he not max out Kyle Kuzma? Well, he still won quite a bit.
Yeah. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. 105 coming up next. We'll chat some NBA with Andy Bailey straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.